Welcome, everyone, to this week's weekly market update, February 12th, just 15 minutes after the equity market opened with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Let's just jump right in. So let's talk about what we've seen out of the equity markets over the last 5 days since last week's podcast. We've seen an S&P up 2.5% with the NASDAQ up basically the same, a Dow up 3%, and a Russell up 1.7%. But here's something interesting, Carl. That puts the S&P up 1.25% on the year. It puts the NASDAQ basically flat on the year. It puts the Dow, and that's very important for the dispersion reasons that we've talked about, up 3.7%. And most importantly, it puts the Russell, the small cap, up 6.5%.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see what's happening, and this last week has been really good for the S&P to be able to kind of make up some of that ground. But to delve in even further on that, let's talk about the equal weight, right? RSP is the ticker that we use for that, but the equal weighted ETF, in which case all stocks under the S&P have the same weighting as opposed to regular old SPY, which is heavily weighted in the Magnificent Seven. The equal weight year to date is up 6%, right up there with the Russell and the Dow. And that just shows that we are just getting nice, healthy dispersion across the board, why we may be seeing some of the bigger names out there kind of taking it on the chin so far this year. And we're still very early on in this year. The rest of the market is looking really healthy right now.
And I can't remember which podcast we did, but it was late last year where we started noticing that shift basically across the broad market into more of the large cap names, not so concentrated, and we talked about how healthy that is for the market. It doesn't necessarily dampen volatility both to the upside and the downside, but it does make for more of a sustainable move higher, which is why the projections that we have for the broad market for this year is possible because you have that dispersion that we keep talking about. That's what makes it possible for this market to continue to move higher throughout 2026. And it's going to be largely based around interest rates. And now that can get a little bit complex because interest rates are, we have allocations into very interest rate sensitive sectors. But that would be a good opportunity to go ahead and hop over into Carl's corner.
Yesterday, we had the unemployment claims and the job claims come out, and they did extremely well. They very exceeded the expectations on what we were actually looking for. Just to give you the actual numbers for it, the unemployment rate went from 4.4 to 4.3, but in the eyes of the percentages and the whole market, that's a fantastic move. The more important one are the job numbers. So people who are actually getting jobs and the employment went from a forecast of 66,000. So we were anticipating 66,000 additional jobs. It turned out to be 130,000, more than doubled. And we're seeing that in the probabilities of the Fed. And so jumping right in here, we're still seeing the fact that it's not going to be till June for the first rate cut for 25 basis points. And that is more than likely because Powell is going to be sitting on the data, doesn't really want to make any moves, and he's going to leave the economy in as best position as he can. And with the market doing well and the economy doing well, there's not exactly a point in doing a rate cut before then. And we're seeing the probabilities really start baking that in to June's being the first real attempt. But more than likely, what we're going to end up seeing, unless Warsh comes in and immediately starts cutting, which Scott and I don't believe is going to happen, at least not the first one in June, it's probably going to be July or even September is when the first one's going to happen. If you remember last year, it was supposed to be May, was supposed to be the very first rate cut, and it kept kicking it and kicking it and kicking it, and then they did three straight at the end of the year. There's a very, very real possibility that's exactly what happens again this year.
I tend to agree, and I'll tell you another reason why that is. I just think that Warsh is going to come in and he's going to want to try to establish the idea that the Federal Reserve maintains independence. So for him to come in May and then in June immediately cut rates, I think the criticism would far outweigh the positives that could come from that. And so I just don't see it happening. I do see a September, October, December, three cuts in a row, and that's okay, especially, and that goes back to what I was talking about with the dispersion, right? Because when you have that broad market rally, well, then you don't necessarily have to lean on rate cuts, but what will add fuel to that fire is going to be those later in the year rate cuts. We may get a July, possibly get a July, and then maybe an October, December. Everyone's projecting two. I think we're going to get three. We talked about that last week. But yeah, it's very interesting. And the jobs numbers, to your point, fantastic. And that made big news yesterday. We haven't seen a reading like that in, gosh, probably, I don't know, 5 years, I would imagine. So everything is pointing up. And pointing in the direction that we really have been talking about since June of last year. And those probabilities and those statistics that we always kind of go back to, almost every single one of them have been right on point. And so I'm super excited about how we're positioned, especially with the stats on the Russell and the Dow, because we have such a good exposure there. I think we're going to see the real estate side, which we haven't talked about much, but I think we're going to see the real estate side start to really ramp up. A lot of times, even though interest rates, in terms of mortgage rates, are very reactionary, when real estate, actual hard assets start to move, that's usually in anticipation of rate movements. So, in fact, let's look at this, Carl. Our real estate exposure is at all-time highs, up 7% on the year. So there you go, in anticipation. Now, again, I want to clarify, mortgage rates are reactionary, but actual hard assets are proactive, or they're anticipatory in any sort of change in rates, Fed fund level.
Seeing your real estate reading there, that's really fantastic. It's what we were anticipating last year when we added real estate into the portfolio. We really wanted to start to go a little bit more heavy into it. And you're right, it is very anticipatory. And what we're looking for here is once the 10-year really starts coming down and those mortgage rates come down, this real estate should really take off and do what it did. Gosh, what was it in 2021 when everyone just started buying houses left and right? That was a fantastic year for real estate. And that's kind of what we're anticipating. We're not going to get 0% interest rates. That's not going to happen. But getting it back down to 4-3% interest rates, that's exactly where we want to be. And I think that's really going to be positioning well within this portfolio.
Yes, I think that's an excellent point. And maybe next week we do somewhat of an overlay on that time period, because I think that's an excellent point and it does translate over to the equity market. But if you look at the period between 2016 and 2021 from a real estate perspective, now of course you got 2020 in there that sort of mixes up the equity side. But if you look at from a real estate perspective, 2016 to 2021, and you overlay an equity chart on top of that, that's going to be an interesting topic, because I already know what the answer is. But it was pretty powerful and extremely correlated. So let's do that. Let's make sure next week and dive into that, because I think that really touches on some topics that, well, really relates to everyone. So with that, Carl, did you have anything else?
No, I think we covered a good bit today. We've got CPI tomorrow. Next Friday,
Oh,
we have
PCE. Yeah.
PCE. So, a lot of big inflation numbers coming out, which will have a big effect on the probabilities, as we all know. So, we're just going to keep an eye on that. But if you think anyone out there might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Well, that's perfect. Well, with that, then we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we are going to look forward to doing this again next week.